Hello, everyone. I am Ryan Peterson. I'm with the Communications Department at Grace Community Church. You're listening to the Voices of Grace podcast. Today's guest is a guy that I'm very excited to talk with, Justin Hayes, who is the Executive Director of the Fostering Collective here in East Texas. I actually did not know Justin until a few months ago when I started working at Grace, and I was working on a project with Justin and the Fostering Collective. Such a great guy and a great story. And Justin, thanks so much for joining me today and just talking a little bit about your life in the Fostering Collective.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
So you have a really interesting story. First, I guess kind of talk about, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, your family, and then, you know, at what age, when did you start following Jesus in your life?
Well, I kind of had the typical life where I grew up in church and, you know, just always grew up knowing about Jesus, learning about God and everything. You know, it's kind of the typical thing where every time the doors were open, my parents had us there. And so it was exciting to be there, to grow up in that way. And so I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was eight. You know, sometimes people say, and then I went through this dark period in my life and rebelled, and I did rebel some, but only till sixth grade. So it really wasn't a real long
period. That's not a big window. You were
good.
Yeah,
not a real big window. But it was really in sixth grade that God grabbed my heart and he was like, okay, you said you accepted me. You said I was your Lord, but you're not living like that. And so it was in sixth grade. I was thankful that God really got a hold of me early on. And so I started living for him then. And always kind of felt like God would call me into some kind of ministry. But whenever I was 18, I'll never forget sitting in the second pew of my church on a Sunday night and just feeling very clearly God saying, okay, Justin, I want you to do something for me ministry-wise as your vocation. And so it was just so clear to me. And at that point, I was excited just to see what God had for me. Of course, I skipped the part where I said who I am and about my family, but I do have my wife, Christy, and I have been married for 20 years now, and we do have six children. And three children, biological children, and three children from adoption. And so,
yeah. And so the adoption, you know, a major part of your story and your ministry. So talk to me about the Fostering Collective. I know you served in Africa. Talk about how that all happened and how you got into the Fostering Collective a few years ago, I believe, but just your journey from serving in Africa and what moved your heart to adoption fostering becoming such a big thing in your life.
Yeah, I think it's so important for us whenever we feel like God is calling us to do something, we need to listen very closely. And even if it doesn't completely make sense to us, we need to be ready to act on it. And even back when I was 18 and I felt like God was calling me to ministry, he called me to major in music and music education, which I never wanted to be a teacher for any reason. But I just trusted God with that, and then getting my degree in that, God then led me into youth ministry for a while, and it was so cool to be able to use the music part as far as leading worship and helping students learn how to lead worship, and the education part is for teaching. And then God used that as I moved into ministry in East Africa, of course the teaching part, but using the skills I learned from youth ministry, God was able to use those to help children in Uganda and other parts of East Africa, just sharing with them. And then we started a Ugandan choir. And so then all of a sudden the music part came back in. And it's like, okay, God, I see how you've pieced all this together. But it was during my time serving there that I learned so much about God's heart for orphans. And in Uganda, 10% of the population is orphaned. And And it, that's from disease, from war, from all sorts of different things. But what I saw there is as I would talk to a lot of the pastors there and a lot of the church members about their families, they would say, yes, I have 3 children and I also have 4 orphans that are living with me, or I have 5 children and 2 orphans living with me. And of course, their homes are not very big. They don't have a whole lot to provide physically, but it was so neat to see them living out their faith and being able to welcome in these children and just trusting God. And it was through that time that I learned so much about faith and how we really need to trust God with every part of our lives and recognize that whenever he calls us to do something, he's going to equip us to do that. He's not necessarily going to equip us first and then call us. We need to be ready to take that step of faith and then trust that he's going to equip us on the way. And so while I'm part of my job was to go to churches, and so I went to several churches around in East Texas. Of course, came to Grace several times, several of the campuses of Grace. And as part of that, I would share that I felt like they were doing a better job taking care of orphans in East Africa than we were doing in East Texas. And God used that in 2 different ways. First of all, he used that for me personally. He was like, okay, Justin, do you hear what you're saying? You know, do you see what's happening in Uganda? And, you know, your family can do that too. And so God used that for my wife, Christy, and I to start praying about, okay, what do you want to do in our lives? How do you want us to serve as a family? And then he also used that in a different way, just showing me, okay, here's the ministry I'm going to have for you next is helping others understand how they can help orphans in East Texas. And, you know, for us, orphans in East Texas, we don't use the term orphan as much, but children in foster care are children that need families, whether it's temporarily or permanently. So that's really how he's used different phases of my life, just showing me the next step, you know.
So I want to get into more detail on what the Fostering Collective is, what you do. But before we do that, can you kind of talk about your time in Africa and then moving on to the Fostering Collective? I think so many times, and I experience this myself and talking to other Christians, I think when we hear maybe we think God's pulling our heart to do something and we're hearing his voice, fear a lot of times will stop us from maybe doing what God is calling us to do. You going to Africa for as long as you did and then taking on the Fostering Collective and wanting to help children, I mean, these aren't like small things. Did you have fear yourself, and maybe how did you overcome that and just say, I'm going to trust God because God knows better than I myself?
Yeah, I'll never forget in 2010, I took my first trip to Uganda, and we had 3 small children at the time. And there's that moment of getting in the car, saying goodbye to your wife, and that just so much unknown. It's like, am I ever going to come back? You know, what's going to happen when I go over there? So there's definitely some fear there. And but as soon as I got over there, I just recognized, you know what? These are people just like us. These are wonderful people. And they are serving God. God is doing incredible things. And I quickly realized that there are so much that as if I would have just stayed in America, stayed in East Texas, I would have missed out on so much more that God wanted to teach me through these people in Uganda. And so if I would have let fear take over, then I would have missed out on so much opportunity there. And it was during my time in Uganda that a verse really spoke to me that has really kind of become my life verse. And that's from John 14:21. And it's whoever hears my words and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And And so the first part is like whenever we see God's word, whenever we hear his word, that's one thing to hear it, but to obey it, that's when we're really going to discover God's plan for us, and he's going to reveal himself to us and so much more. And so it's really through our obedience that we get to the heart of God. And so I learned so much from that. And during our time in Uganda, my wife and I both worked for this ministry. And we would take turns going to Uganda and bringing teams over. And because of our kids at home, we never went together. But I went 14 times. She went 10 times. So about every 3 months, one of us was going. And it was also neat because I was able to take my oldest son 3 times over there and just see how God shaped his heart through our obedience doing this ministry and him learning through that. And my wife was able to take our first daughter over. And so it was just really neat to see that.
That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit more about the Fostering Collective. Okay. Explain to people that if they're not familiar with the organization, I honestly, until a few months ago, didn't know about the Fostering Collective, and now I know the great work you guys are doing. Explain to people what you guys specifically do for children in East Texas.
Okay, so the Fostering Collective exists to recruit and shepherd Christ-centered families in East Texas to help children in foster care. And when we say help children in foster care, so many people think, oh, well, I either need to become a foster parent or I need to adopt a child in order to help children in foster care. And there is a great need for that, but there's also a great need for many people to help in other ways. One of the biggest statistics that drives us as a ministry is that 50% of foster parents quit within the first year because of lack of support. And so we really feel like one of the biggest roles that the church can take on is to support the families that are doing it, whether they are fostering or whether they have adopted. And they can also support biological families as they try to help get their families back together. And it's through this support that can really help families not just survive, but to thrive. And we really, you know, the key there is also Christ-centered families. We really feel like, you know, of course, God's word says that we are to take care of the widows and the orphans. And so we really believe that Christ-centered families are uniquely equipped to show Christ's love to these children. And so that's where we're looking for people that are willing to love these children, whether it's by being a babysitter, whether it's by supporting a family that's doing it, whether it's by taking some kids out. You know, I went with some kids to Grand Slam on Saturday, you know, just helping them to see that we love them, that we see them, and more importantly, that God sees them, that God knows their name. You know, that was one of the biggest things in Uganda is I saw these kids, I was reminded that God knows each one of these kids individually. He knows them by name, and he has a plan for that child just like he's had a plan for my life all along. And so the same thing with these kids in foster care. God has a plan for them. They are special to him, but unfortunately, they have been surrounded by people that haven't shared that with them, that haven't shown God's love to them. And so that's where we are praying and hoping that God's people will rise up and show this love to foster children in one way or another.
How has leading the Fostering Collective, I mean, and you're someone, I mean, you're not just asking people to do it, you've done it yourself. Like you said, you and your wife have adopted 3 children. How has it transformed your life?
You know, the whole foster and adoption journey can shape you in so many different ways. Caring for a child that has come out of trauma, there's so much that, you know, you can try to prepare to parent that child, but there's so much that you have to learn as you go. And I'm so thankful for some wonderful resources to help us along the way and a wonderful community of other people that are doing it. But you learn so much about God's grace as you try to parent a child that has gone through trauma, because as they deal with this trauma, they can't put that into words. They can't say, I'm struggling today because of abandonment issues, or I'm struggling today because I saw some terrible things when I was younger. It's going to come out in behavior. they're going to act out in one way or another, or whenever you tell them it's time to go somewhere, they're just going to say no, or they're not going to want to be in places with a lot of people. And so you have to learn, first of all, to show grace, but also you have to learn to look past the behavior, to look at the trauma, and to help them, not with the symptom, which is the behavior, but to help them with the problem and help them work through that. And so I've learned so much about just patience, and learned so much about how God is shaping us as we struggle alongside our children. And, you know, I think that James 1 became so much more clear to me as I walked through this. You know, it says, consider it pure joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. And it's like, how is this pure joy? Well, the trials, whenever you're helping a foster child or you're helping your adopted child, you know, you're struggling along with that child. And as you struggle, God is helping to develop your perseverance, and he's helping to bring you closer to him. That's part of your sanctification journey. And he does it very quickly as you deal with these children. And so working with the Fostering Collective has been wonderful because it brings us alongside a lot of other parents that are also in the middle of that. And maybe they haven't gotten the same training. Maybe they haven't gotten the same resources. Maybe they don't have any other friends or community that are in the middle of that. And so they're just out kind of isolated, struggling on their own. And so for us to be able to come alongside them, to show them that there is hope with their children, there's hope with their families, and to say, you know, that big thing, I've been there, I understand. That just means so much to these parents.
I've talked to a couple friends that have fostered and then adopted, and it's funny because they all kind of say the same thing, that fostering has been one of the hardest things they've ever done, but it's also been the best thing they've ever done. Can you kind of explain to people what that means? Because it's kind of like, well, what? But just, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but what you get out of it is going to be so much more.
Yeah. You know, you don't hear a whole lot of stories from people saying, you know what, God called me to do something that was so easy, and man, it was so fulfilling, and, you know, that's not the way God works most of the time. God calls us to do things that are beyond us so that we have to rely on him. You know, the whole saying that God's not going to give you more than you can handle, well, God's absolutely going to give you more than you can handle so that you have to rely on him. And so with fostering, a child comes into your family, and you don't know this child. This child is foreign to you. And so it's just like if another kid came over to play, you know, it's fun. They play for a few hours, and then they go home. Well, with a foster kid, they don't go home. They stay. And you have to try to figure out who this child is. And then whenever they get upset about something, you don't know why they're upset because you haven't experienced that before. And so there are so many things with parenting that we use for parenting our biological children that we realized we needed to change and shift so that we could parent differently to help these foster children. And so it was difficult. It was very difficult. The other thing was with our family, whenever... So we already had three biological children, and then we brought in two other children that were in foster care but were open for adoption. So they moved into our home with the idea that we were going to adopt them. And so when that happened, we thought the best idea would be to move right before that, right? And so we moved like 2 days before these kids came into our quote unquote home that we, you know, so here we're in a new house.
That's an ideal situation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wasn't that smart of us? We had beds that weren't put together, nothing on the walls. And so it was, what we didn't realize is the emotional toll it took on us, because we, you know, you've got your sense of normalcy with your three kids, and then all of a sudden you add these two other kids that you don't know at all. And these kids have their own struggles, and so we kind of fell apart for a little while, honestly, and it was only through our community, our friends, our family that wrapped around us that we were able to to get things going over the next few weeks and the next couple of months to really understand, okay, this is what life is looking like with five kids. You know, how do you even feed five kids at once that are small? You know, it's like an assembly line, but you know, just little things like that. But I remember Mark Hageman saying that, and they've adopted five children now.
Yeah, you're a lightweight compared to the Hagemans.
I mean, you know, it's not a competition, Ryan. It's not a competition. but he said, I had worked at camps. I had been a middle school teacher. I mean, what better preparation is there than being a middle school teacher? But whenever he had these foster children from foster care move into his home, he realized, oh, man, I still have so much more to learn. And so it's through that, you know, you really start feeling like, okay, I am dying to myself in a lot of ways. I am having to take up my cross, follow God each day, daily. I need to realize, okay, I need to be patient. I need to love my wife well, and I need to put my own emotions and my own selfish ambition and thoughts aside and just love this child the way Christ loves us. And so it's through that you know, I've learned so much about God's love for me as I have attempted to love these children, you know, and obviously God's love for them as well, but how he is going to love these children through us and through our imperfect love, he's going to love them perfectly. And so it's been really neat. It's been really hard, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Absolutely. I know you've talked and worked with a lot of churches in East Texas. Mm-hmm. How has Grace Community Church specifically been able to help you and assist you with the Fostering Collective?
So about a little over 3 years ago, whenever we really felt like we needed a ministry like this in East Texas, we had about five churches that we felt like were already doing ministry to foster families and adoptive families, and we're already doing it. And Grace was really at the top of the list, and that was exciting to see. In fact, I remembered attending an event in Lindale, at Grace Lindale, where you guys just did some wonderful videos of families and that have adopted and just shared about all the different needs. And so you kind of painted a picture of, okay, this is wonderful. Grace is doing a wonderful job in this area. But if we're really going to tackle this, we need so many other churches doing this as well. And so it was really neat to be able to kind of ask Grace to come alongside us, as well as some other churches. We knew that we needed to be a nonprofit that wasn't just connected with one church, you know, wasn't just connected with two or three. We needed a lot of churches. In fact, the statistics say for us to really impact our community, we need 10% of the churches in that county. So for this county, that's about 35 churches. And so it's been wonderful to have Grace alongside us for the journey and really working together, partnering, and also seeing Grace working with other churches, and there's no competition there.
It's really
helping each other and just hearing, okay, we'll host this one, you host this one, and we'll all come to everything. And so that's been really neat.
Well, it's been awesome getting to know you and what you guys are doing, and you've actually moved my wife and I. Now we're starting the very beginning of the process looking into this, and I'd also want to encourage people to pray about it. This is not something you take lightly, obviously, because, I mean, you're loving a child, but someone that had fostered had told me, and I think they're so right, what better way is there to show God's grace than to love a child that's in need? And I thought that was so convicting. If people want to learn more, maybe, you know, and look, not committing to anything, but if you just want to learn more and kind of learn more about Fostering Collective, how you could help, like you said, maybe not fostering even, but a babysitter or other things, how can they get more information or reach out to you?
Yes, they can. And I want y'all to know that that's really why our ministry is here, because it can be kind of complicated if you try to do this on your own, getting into the whole idea of foster care and trying to help in some way. And so that's really why we're set up, is to help people just like you that want to help and just have no idea how. And so if you just go to our website, thefosteringcollective.org, then it will actually walk you through some things, and you can connect with us through the website, and then we can just help you figure out what God's specific calling is for you and for your family, and just help you on that journey. And so just like for you, Ryan, as you all start to walk in this journey, you know, you're going to be thinking about what's God calling you to do, what are different steps, how do I pick an agency, things like that. And so that's where we just love to walk with couples like you and just help you discover all those things in your timing. You know, some people we meet with, they say, you know what, I feel like God may be calling us to do that in 3 years. And so we'd love to talk to you and just help you know how to pray. We can also give you some books that you can read to help you prepare. And the main thing is you seeking what God's calling you to do, because we know that God has plenty of resources in East Texas to help all of these children. And it's just about each one of us being obedient to what he's calling us to do. So anybody that wants to go to thefosteringcollective.org, we'd love to help you in that way, or just connect with anybody at Grace and they can point you to us.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. It was awesome getting to talk with you. And again, if you are interested, please contact the Fostering Collective. And like Justin said, you don't even have to commit anything. Maybe it's something you're looking for down the road, but at least pray about it. And let's love these children, because when you showed us the statistics at that forum we went to, they're very jarring when you see them. So thank you for what you were doing, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. This is Voices of Grace.